Praise God.
Saying I commend you men that were up here. I wondered if my paper copy would get back. Whoever was using it, you put it back. God's going to give you an extra crown on that one. For those of you that are visiting, there's some things I'm fussy about, and one of them is that you don't take the pulpit copy of the hymnal. I hope you church people have emailed a missionary this week. Remember, I'm challenging you each week to email a missionary. I emailed mine, and I hope you'll email yours. Oh, I didn't get to it. Well, you probably aren't going to go right to bed when you get home. Sit down at your computer or your phone or whatever and email one. You say, I can wait till tomorrow. No, tomorrow you'll forget again. Acts. I have two testimonies that I was given as true. I'm going to be sharing them, but I want you to turn first to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, and verse 26, and when he had found him, that was Saul, when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that Barnabas and Saul spent a whole year assembled with the church at Antioch. Now, Antioch is in present-day Turkey. And they taught much people. Now, here's what I'm reading for. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Christ, the anointed. It is generally and correctly understood that the term Christian means one who is a Christ follower, one who is Christ-like. Now, in this sense, I ask you, are you a Christian? A few years ago, a group of salesmen went to a regional sales convention in Chicago. They had assured their wives that they would be home in plenty of time for Friday night's dinner. In their rush to catch the plane home, and with tickets and briefcases in hand, one of these salesmen inadvertently kicked over a table which held a display of apples. Apples flew everywhere. Without stopping or looking back, they all managed to reach the plane in time for their nearly missed boarding. All but one. He paused, took a deep breath, got in touch with his feelings, and experienced a twinge of compassion for the girl whose apple stand had been overturned. He told his buddies to go on without him, waved goodbye, told one of them to call his wife when they arrived at their home destination and explain why he was going to be taking a later flight. Then he returned to the terminal where the apples were all over the terminal floor. He was glad he did. The 16-year-old girl was totally blind. She was softly crying, tears running down her cheek in frustration, and at the same time trying helplessly, groping for her spilled produce as crowds swirled around her, but no one stopped to care or to help. The salesman knelt on the floor with the girl, gathered up the apples. He put them back on the table and helped organize her display. As he did this, he noticed that many of them had become battered and bruised. These he set aside in another basket. When he had finished, He pulled out his wallet and said to the girl, "Here, please take this $50 for the damage we did. Are you okay?" She nodded through her tears. He continued on with, "I hope we didn't spoil your day too badly." As the salesman started to walk away, the bewildered blind girl called out to him, "Mister, mister." He paused and turned and looked back into those blind eyes. And she continued, "Are you Jesus?" He stopped mid-stride and he wondered. He gently went back and said, "No, I am nothing like Jesus. He is good, kind, caring, loving. He would never have bumped in your display in the first place." The girl gently nodded. "I only asked because I prayed for Jesus to help me gather the apples. He sent you to help me. Thank you for hearing Jesus, mister." Then slowly, he made his way to catch the later flight with that question burning and bouncing about in his soul, "Are you Jesus? Do people mistake you for Jesus?" That's our destiny, isn't it?
Right.
Christian, Christ-like. To be so much like Jesus that people cannot tell the difference as we live and interact with a world that is blind to his love, to his life, and to his grace. We claim to know him. We should live and walk and act as he would. Knowing him is more than simply quoting scripture and going to church. It's actually living the word as life unfolds day to day. Do people mistake you for Jesus? Now, don't let your mental mind govern. She was blind. She couldn't see. If she'd have seen him, she'd have understood. No, her blindness helped her to see him. And that may be the problem. People with natural eyesight see you. Turn now, if you will, to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John. Chapter 2 and verse 6. "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked." Now the testimony I read doesn't tell us if the man that went back to help was a Christian or not. But the girl wondered, because in her blindness she was aware of somebody who acted like what she understood Jesus to be. And the people we come into contact with, they may have natural sight, but is there an awareness by their inner person that there is something different about us? In Ephesians chapter 5, the New Testament book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." That's what we're to be doing, following God as dear children. Dear children? Yeah. Dear children to God.
Amen.
He is our Father, and we're to be followers of God. And he tells us in verse 2, as a result, you are a Christian, you are a follower of God, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. I know that Valentine's Day is a day of the world. I know it's not found in the Bible. But you know what is found in the Bible? Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. How did he love? Sacrificially. And walk in love, as Christ hath also loved us. Husbands, love your wife. There'll come a day when you won't have her. The church family knows I had mine for 62 years. And then Jesus took her home. You say, well, I got a long time to go. You do not know that. Our sister church in Shingle House, Grace Bible, had a young couple. They were in their 40s, I believe. And they left church, told the pastor, see you next week. And I don't know if it was a day or two later, but within a few days, they both were in a head-on car accident. One of them's died. The other one is right on the edge of life and death. So you don't say, I have time yet. You better love your wife now. And you know how to love her. You know what pleases her. Do it. Do it. For God's sake, do it. You say, what do you mean for God's sake? You're supposed to be a Christian. And Paul tells us here that we are to walk in love as Christ hath also loved us. You say, well, that means, yeah, what does it mean? You go ahead and tell me, what does it mean? Where does it mean it? It means it, first of all, in your home. You know what my wife liked? Now, at Valentine's, before her diabetes became real bad, I'd get her candy and share it with her. Okay. And, but after her diabetes became worse, I'd bring her flowers. I didn't think Valentine's Day would be a hard day for me. All right. But do you know when it was? When I'd walk through the store. And I'd see the displays. And then I'd remember the things that I would get for her. For God's sake, man, do it while you have her. Yeah, you're just saying that out of your emotions. Does that make it any less true? Does that make it any less necessary for you? I stood at a similar altar to yours, and I made vows. Did they not mean anything to you? Were they but a farce? Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Now, do you have any children? If you have children, or when you do have children, they need to see Christ in you. Oh, that might even be a worse situation than between the husband and wife. Christian, Christ-like. What was one of the characteristics of Christ? He was patient. Mothers, because they are mothers, tend to be more patient than us fathers. Well, we sort of compliment each other. She's patient and I'm on the kids and get them to do them what they... Yeah. I've been there. You can't fool me. And if you haven't to your kids yet, if you haven't gone to them, you say, it was years ago. For God's sake, what does it matter?
Come on.
If you wrongly accused them, if you have not done right by them, go and tell them so.
Amen.
Acknowledge it to them. You're probably not a big enough man.
Come on.
Yeah, that's right. You heard me. You're probably not a big enough man to do that.
Uh-oh. Thank you, Pastor.
And then you wonder why they've wandered off. They don't live anywhere like they were raised. They didn't grow up that way. Oh, yes, they did. They saw more than your facade. They saw the real thing.
Uh-oh.
And that's why they're living like they're living. They're following the real example.
Uh-oh.
Now, you can't change the past, but you sure can do a lot to help the future. Now, there's always some wise guy sitting out there. Yeah, well, I wasn't a preacher. I didn't live in one of them pretty little homes. I had to go to my kids. They were grown. Now they were out of the house. They had started their own families. And I had to go to each one of them. I remember the one I was talking, it was my son. We were driving down North Union Street in Olean. We were in the car together. And I looked over at him and I said, Jack, I want to ask you to forgive me for the times that I didn't treat you right, for the times that I was hard on you when I should have been gentle. And on I unfolded to him. So you see, you're not going to get out of this by saying, well, you probably were different. Yeah, I was no different than you. I had an old nature just like you. And if you're saved, if you're born again, then you have the same problem I had because you had a new nature that I could have yielded to. And you could, but you didn't.
Yeah.
I don't like saying that sort of thing. I'd rather keep my private life private. But more than that, I'd rather help you. If it can help you to see and to understand and to realize that the things this book says are true. And when it says that we are to walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. We want to live out our life as an example if we can do it the way we want to. And it isn't the way we want to, it's the way God wants us to. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. This is a story of Daryl. Daryl was a 40-year-old youth worker. One service a month, the youth in his church went to Holcomb Manor, which was an old age home. The people would be wheeled in for the service. We took our young people when I was in Shingle House into nursing homes. Boy, some of the young people, it was hard. They'd never been around old people, and definitely not those in the condition that often they are in a nursing home. And the old people would be wheeled in for the service. Some of them were aware, and others of them weren't. Daryl never wanted to have anything to do with the youth service at Holcomb Manor. Old people creeped him out. He was an oldophobic, is the way it's put here. He probably isn't the only one, huh? Well, one day, the only other two people in the church that could drive the bus with the young people to Holcomb Manor, they were not available. And either Daryl would drive the youth or there would be no service. Daryl didn't want to. Have you ever been that way in the church? There's a need, you can meet it, but you don't really want to. But he grudgingly agreed to drive the bus. He sat at the back and tried to blend in with the wallpaper. He felt uncomfortable. He felt alone. He got through the service barely. And he had told the youth, as soon as the service is over, I'm out of here. I will be on the bus. Unfortunately, Daryl's plan didn't work out the way he wanted. Because as soon as he turned around to head for the bus, the hand of an elderly man grabbed him. And the man was in a wheelchair. And he didn't seem to be aware. His eyes were glazed over. His head hung to one side. But he had a strong enough grip on Daryl's hand that Daryl couldn't get away without making it a scene. Daryl tried to pull away, but the old man wouldn't let him go. Finally, Daryl in desperation said, "Sir, I have to go." And then something prompted him to say, "But I'll be back." The man squeezed Daryl's hand, and then from somewhere, even deeper in Daryl's heart, came the words, "Jesus loves you, and so do I." It shocked him when he said them. Walking out, he thought, where did that come from? What's with this? I'll be back. I'm not Schwarzenegger. Next month, Daryl signed up to drive the bus again. And once again, there was Mr. Lee grabbing Daryl's hand at the end of the service. Daryl now knew the man's name. And this time, Daryl actually enjoyed saying to Mr. Lee, "You know, I have to go now, but I will be back. Jesus loves you, and so do I." And Mr. Lee squeezed his hand again. From then on, Daryl signed on every month. And on the sixth month, he was excited to see Oliver. He and Mr. Lee were now on a first-name basis. He was always praying for Oliver. Seeing Oliver had become a highlight of his month. But one week when he got to Holcomb Manor, Oliver wasn't there. Daryl waited until everyone was wheeled into the service. And then he asked one of the nurses about Mr. Lee. "Oh," the nurse said, "follow me." And she took him to room 27. Now, Daryl had never seen anyone die before, but he knew that when he saw Mr. Lee, that Oliver was near the end. Daryl began to weep. He sat down and took both of Oliver's hands, and he prayed and he said, "I love you." And he stayed that way the longest time until one of the youth leaders came in and said, "Daryl, we really have to go." Daryl said one more quick prayer, and then he said those familiar words, "I have to go now, but Jesus loves you, and I love you." Oliver had been unresponsive the entire time, but as soon as Daryl said those words, Daryl felt Mr. Lee squeeze his hand and then let him go. Daryl lost it. He began to back out of the room when he bumped into a teenage girl. Daryl said, "I'm sorry. I didn't know you were there." The girl said, "Before you go, I want you to know that I am his granddaughter, and I wanted to meet you." "Meet me?" Daryl said. "Yes, when we came last night, the doctor said Granddad wouldn't talk anymore. But last night he sat up and he said so clearly, 'Julie, tell Jesus goodbye for me.' And then he lay down." I said, "Grandpa, you're going to be with Jesus. You can tell him yourself." And he opened his eyes and looked at me, and with his funny little smile, he told me, "Tell Jesus when he comes next Sunday that I am gone. I don't want to miss him and or him to miss me." He hasn't said a thing since that. Then she said to Daryl, "You know, I never envisioned Jesus quite as chubby and bald as you are. But I think Jesus would be pleased that you were mistaken for him." Then she hugged him. Now I ask you, friend, might somebody mistake you for Jesus?
Come on.
We just finished a marvelous service. Marvelous. And I thought to myself, no, we can't do the usual. But I believed God, and I've told church family before, I pray and ask God to show me what to bring. And you church family know that it's not infrequent, but it's something different like this. And I thought, well, just save it till next week. And then I thought, no, God gave it to you for this week.
Amen.
And so he did. Church family also knows that it's not uncommon that he gives me a song. And I'd like Dustin and Luke, if they'll come and pass out this song. You may have to share it. Go ahead, fellas, pass it out. You may have to share it. I ran off 50 of them. Do you have your copy, Grace? Okay. Luke, make sure Grace gets one. I sent this to Grace at home, so she's had opportunity to play it. She's going to play over the tune while the fellows pass out the rest of them. Go ahead, Grace. All right, I think we have them just about passed out. Would you stand, please?
Like Jesus, to be like Jesus, all I ask, to be like him, all all through life's journey, from earth to glory, all I ask to be like him. Next verse. To love like Jesus, to love like Jesus, all I ask, to love like him, all through life's journey, from earth to glory, all I ask, to love like him. Next verse. To pray like Jesus, to pray like Jesus, all I ask, to pray like him, all through life's journey, from earth to glory, all I ask, to pray like him, to serve like Jesus, to serve like Jesus, all I ask, to serve like him, all through life's journey, from earth to glory, all I ask, to serve.
Sing the first verse again.
To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, all I ask, to be like him, all through life's journey, from earth to glory, all I ask, to be like him.
I'm going to ask Brother Neil if you will lead in prayer. And then I'm also going to ask for Nate, if you will close in prayer. We will not obviously go into our usual format. I'm not going to take requests, okay? Anything that somebody has that's urgent, you see me or Pastor.